When you shop on Amazon.com, you'll be swallowing up deals like you were Cochrane with a plate full of beetle larvae and quail eggs. So support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with another Survivor exit interview. And yes, we all know right after blindside time comes exit interview time. And unfortunately, that exit interview this morning is with the one and only Corinne Kaplan. And I'm sure it's going to be an exit interview that we will not soon forget. So looking forward to talking to Corinne and asking her. Got a lot of questions for Corinne. As much as I love Corinne, got a lot of questions for her this morning. So how about this? Last night, Survivor Know-It-Alls, Stephen Fishback and I were live right after the episode, what I think was the best episode of the season, and I don't think it was close. Stephen agrees. We had a lot of fun breaking down the episode and talking about it live after it all happened. So if you haven't checked that out, and you haven't checked out Know-It-Alls at all this season, I think this is a good one to jump in on. You can watch that at robhasawebsite.com. So we're going to get to Corinne in just a moment, but I just want to clarify something that I don't know if I've ever fully clarified on the podcast, but a lot of people, I get emails from people sometimes and they ask me, Rob, why are you always rushing the people off the phone on the exit interview? You like skip doing something else. You could talk, you could make more time for these people. And I wish that it was up to me to decide how long these interviews are, but we only get these people for 15 minutes. That's really what the rule is. CBS sets up all of these interviews. They've got a lot of interviews to do. They're talking to people in from newspapers, podcasts, and radio. So we appreciate even getting them, but we're all limited to 15 minutes because we're all on a schedule. We do these calls at the same time every week, so they're off to go to their next call. So sometimes you'll hear me say, okay, I know you got to go. That's because they have to actually go on to their next interview, and I'm just trying to keep everybody on schedule. So that's that, and without further ado, now that we got that out of the way, let's get into it. Let's talk to Corinne. I see that she's on the line. Corinne, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Corinne, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and Corinne, thank you, first off, for bringing us a lot of entertainment this season. I now can go through life worried that somebody's going to call me a tubby lunchbox. So first off,
don't get tubby and you won't have that problem.
All right, good. All right, Corinne, let's get into it. I know on Twitter last week you were saying that me and Steven were only getting half of the story. There was a lot that we didn't get to see. So go ahead and give us your side of last night's events.
I think that the biggest question everyone wants to know is, why would I tell Dawn anything? The reality is that, yes, Malcolm was my alliance, but Dawn was also my alliance, and Dawn was really my best friend out there. So everything I did, every decision I made, whether it be, should we go in the ocean now or should we go in the ocean this afternoon, I did everything with Dawn. And it was very much a democracy. Like, if we were making a decision, we made it together. And I really adored her, and I was very attached to her. And I don't really get attached to people, but Dawn was very special to me. So first things first, I don't know why you guys don't get to see any of that, but Dawn was my very, very, very close friend. So when you look at what happened last night, you have to also take into account that Dawn, you've seen her crying a lot throughout the episodes, right?
Yes.
You see that she is not, she doesn't cry like Sugar cried. She's not an annoying crier. It's just that she's very sensitive. And it's hard for her to take her head and heart out of the game. So I was the person she came to when she cried all the time. And it was very draining for me, but I did it because I loved her and I wanted to play the game with her. She started to really have a meltdown. And when you see her go off to the well by herself in this episode and cry alone, I looked at her and I knew what she was doing. When she would go to the well, she would go so she could have a good cry by herself. And I knew she was really losing it. So I said, you know what, let's go to the well together. So I take her over there and I said, what's going on? And she's like, I can't. And she's barely breathing. I mean, she's a real mess. And I said, you got to calm down, Dawn. Calm down. Nothing is happening. She goes, I'm at the bottom of the alliance. I got nothing. I'm never going to go. And she's freaking out. I said, Dawn, let me present to you another scenario. Worst case scenario, if we decide, and I never say I'm going to do it. I'm just giving her other options. I said, everybody tries to get out the strong guys pre-merge. Okay. They didn't do that this time. We have them post-merge. Again, everyone's going to start targeting the Eddies, the Reynolds, the Malcolms. Why don't we take these desperate players and go to the end with them? They will cannibalize each other. No one's going to get rid of us because we have no shot of winning anything. And we'll be sitting at the end. We can be at the top of that alliance. Whereas, you know, Phillip thinks he's going to the end. You know, Andrea thinks she's going to end. You know, Cochran, that alliance, they all think they're going to the end. Right. I said, you and I, because I was playing the game with Dawn. So I don't tell her what I'm doing. I don't tell her, you know, I was trying to present an option that would A, calm her down, and B, I didn't believe Eric was with us. I felt like we needed Dawn. So strategically for me, I thought that was smart gameplay. You know as well as I do, you don't play the game in 3-day increments. You play it long term. And I wanted to calm her down, and I thought that was the right thing to do. And I also thought, what, she's going to turn on me for Cochran? Cochran screwed her the first time around. So I thought for sure I had no – I never sweat for a second to me that she was going to be loyal. It didn't even cross my mind. So honestly, until, you know, a long time after the game, I had no idea why I was voted out because I never thought that it was Dawn that did that.
And now you know.
And it was, yeah, it was kind of devastating, honestly.
Oh, Corinne. All right. Let me ask you about the idea of that to talk to Dawn about going after Phillip. Was it too early when everybody was already on board to vote out Sherry? If you didn't start talking about going after Phillip, Sherry would have been voted out and you guys would have been able to vote out Phillip next time like you had wanted to.
Unfortunately, chronologically, what you're seeing is not chronologically how it went down. So I talked to Dawn in the morning before the food challenge. The Sherry voting that was definitive was in the afternoon.
Okay.
So, of course, if I knew that everyone was on board with Sherry, at that point, no, there was no reason to tell Dawn. But that wasn't the case.
All right. Actually, my biggest question for you from last night was, when you are talking with Phillip, and Phillip wants to split the votes with you, and you say, no, I don't want to split the votes, why not split the votes? Because if Phillip and those guys are putting 3 votes on Eddie and 3 votes on Reynolds, wouldn't your 5 be enough then, and you guys would have gotten something to happen?
Okay, so I thought, when I was talking to Phillip, there were a couple things going on. One, I was greedy. I knew Reynolds had an idol, and I didn't want him to use it. I thought that for us to be successful, I thought the fact that we had 2 idols was a big deal. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm in sales. I can sell anything to anyone. I think I'm confident at that point I can sell them Sherry. I think I can make this happen, and Reynolds doesn't have to use his idol. And I did. I mean, that is why they went on the Sherry bandwagon. And before that conversation with Phillip, everyone wanted – it was Michael they wanted out, and it was because they thought that I was close to him. They thought he was a smart, strategic player, blah, 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 blah. It was – they wanted Michael out. And I had to get them off Michael. Then it was Reynolds and Eddie, and then I had to Sherry. And I got very little help from Malcolm or anyone else. You know, I was kind of doing all of that by myself. So, yeah, in retrospect, of course, split the votes. He'll use the idol, whatever. We get rid of Phillip. But – I was, you know, it was a split second decision that was not a smart one. Well, I can definitely admit that.
Corinne, I had a theory last night that we talked about on the Survivor Know It All show that the thing about playing with Phillip is that he's almost like, you know, a car alarm going off all through the night that he drives you so crazy that you become incapable of making correct decisions. Is this a fair assessment of what it's like to play Survivor with Phillip?
You know how if you go out and you drink too much and you make a bad decision, you're like, well, I was drunk. It's the same thing. You like can't be responsible for your decision-making skills because it's like being drunk. It's like you're drunk on Phillip's crazy and you're so frazzled that you can't make good decisions. You know, one of the problems I have with people don't understand, it's not that I can't tolerate Phillip's craziness. His craziness, if it was just him, you know, when you see in the beginning, I'm cool. All right, you're giving me a dumb name. You're making it an organization. Whatever, dude. I don't care. But when he gets a little bit of confidence, which is what he started to get when, like, Dawn and Cochran and people were letting him, you know, talk down to me and they don't say anything, he becomes this, like, terror. He's making decisions. Like, they give you 2 minutes to strategize before a challenge. He's the one that, before that snake challenge, was like, I got to be in the front, and you got to have all the strong people in the front. And I'm sitting there going, I've done this challenge. You got to go strong, weak, strong, weak, strong, weak, because they're going to give their bags up, and you don't want them to all go to the same person, which is exactly what happened. But he starts to get a little bit of power, and that I can't handle.
But was Phillip trying to throw that challenge?
No. I mean, there's no, no. I don't even get me started. It's just not, I can't. Like, I can't even believe, like, how does everyone else not hate him as much as I do is what I want to know. How is everyone thinks it's amusing? Like, are you kidding? If this were anybody else, wouldn't you just vote them out? Why am I the only person? These are sane people. What's wrong with them?
Well, do you feel like a lot of the players feel like, well, I saw, you know, Philip is always talking. Did you know Philip actually played with Boston Rob Corinne?
You're kidding.
Yeah, but I
think, by the way, side note, Boston Rob needs to get a restraining order. I mean, he's downright creepy about it.
No, but I think a lot of these people saw what Boston Rob did and said, boy, if I can get to the end with Philip, mm-hmm. that's a guaranteed $1 million for me. And I feel like a lot of players throughout this whole game have felt like I got to keep Philip around because if I get to the end with him, I'll probably win.
Okay, but Rob, let me ask something. Put me in the position. Put any three people in the end, put me in there. Aren't I the same as Philip? No one's giving me $1 million. I mean, Pope said that even in the TV Guide preview. She has no chance of winning. I have no chance of winning too, and I'm not annoying. So why don't you just take, like, what's the difference? Why does it have to be him? There's a lot of people you could beat. And we, all the favorites, thought no one's ever going to give $1 million to a fan. That's what we thought. So you could take a fan. I mean, you could do whatever you want, but it doesn't have to be Philip. There's plenty of people that can't win.
That's a very fair point.
So I don't get it.
Yeah, and you were good at giving out nicknames to people too.
Oh, I'm way better than he is. What's embarrassing is you know he sat there like before the game started and planned out all that. You know that's not like a spur of the moment. And please, can we please discuss? He names Cochran intelligentsia attaché. I assume because he doesn't know what an attaché is. Because you just called him an intelligent briefcase. I mean. I can't with him.
All right. Well, what about Cochran? Were you annoyed with Cochran for being a part of this, or you feel like most of the blame was on Dawn?
You know, I do blame Cochran in some ways, only because I protected him so much in the beginning. He was so scared because he's so bad at challenges. He was like, they're going to get rid of me. And when he had the sunburn, I was the one that was like, don't worry about it. I mean, I was constantly sort of like coddling him because he was such an invalid for so much of the game. And that's why Survivor is so cutthroat. And I guess that's what makes them better players than me, because I could never turn on someone that was like so good to me. Like, it's just like, you're going to go with Philip. I mean, I don't get it.
Let's talk about Eric a little bit, who's been pretty invisible, but he ended up being the swing vote last night.
Yeah.
What kind of conversations did you guys have with Eric to try to lock up his vote?
None. Malcolm said to me, he goes, when we landed on the beach, when the merge starts, he goes, I have Reynolds, Eddie, and Eric. And I looked at him, I go, Eric? Like, who the hell's working with Eric? And he goes, no, I've got him. I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't think anybody's got Eric. And Eric was openly would tell us, I don't want to know who we're voting out until 10 minutes before because I don't want to be responsible for the information. 10 minutes before, I go, I tell Eric, okay, it's going to be Sherry. Then 5 minutes before, Andrea goes, no, it's Corinne. So I assume he just was like, oh, okay, well, you know, if you're really playing the game, don't you want to know why it's Corinne? Don't you want to know why we just turned on our line? I mean, don't you have any questions? If you're going to be the swing vote and you're making a decision, don't you want a little more information? I mean, he's literally, it's ridiculous. I can't, it's like, how a Survivor fan wants to watch that go down is beyond me.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about Brenda? Did you guys try to get Brenda over? I was surprised that nobody went and tried to talk to her and bring her into this plan.
Who?
Oh.
She is, I don't know what she does, but she said maybe two sentences to me for 22 days. Maybe. I mean, she doesn't talk. It's not like she's talking to other people. She's super cool in real life, honestly.
Hold on. Your phone went out after you said she doesn't talk.
Oh, I don't know why my phone's going out. It's a home phone. She doesn't speak. It's like she's Helen Keller and she's a mute. I don't know. It's very weird. She never ever talked to me ever. She doesn't talk in general, like at all.
Yeah.
People keep saying like, you know, why doesn't Brenda have confessionals? I don't even know that she, when they took her aside, if she was like, I got nothing. I mean, I don't know if she talks during those.
Yeah. Well, I've seen her on Survivor before. She did talk last time, so I don't know what happened between now and then. Okay, so you were very tight with Malcolm this whole way through. Why did you connect with Malcolm so quickly on this season?
That's easy because I was playing with a bunch of people that all thought they were the stars of their season, which is by far the most annoying thing. And Malcolm didn't have an ego yet because his season hadn't aired. So it's the same reason why I knew as soon as he emerged, I was going to flip for fans because fans have the same thing. They don't have that like sense of, it's an amazing phenomenon because when you put people, not to mention they called us favorites. So everybody thinks they're a superstar. Like they have like these unbelievable egos and I can't stand playing like that.
Yeah. Now, Corinne, would you go back on Survivor again if you had to go and play with Philip?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't play with Sugar again.
Oh, who would you rather? Who would you rather Philip. Play again? Philip.
Yeah. Because Philip is bad, but he's nowhere near Sugar bad. Nowhere. And I mean, just he's not even close. Yeah.
What was the one thing Philip did that got under your skin the most?
You know what? When we won the pillow, two pillows and one blanket. Okay. And there at that point is, I don't know. He slept every night with one pillow and the blanket every night, even though there's only two pillows and one blanket and we're supposed to at least rotate or share or definitely not sleep with both at the same time. He did it every night and no one said anything.
Okay. And did you care for your Stealth R Us nickname?
When we were out there, he never called me that. I never heard it. Like, it wasn't, like, a constant.
Do you have anything that you would want your former tribe members to hear from you before we sign off today, Corinne?
I mean, at the finale, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't worry. I'll say it for you.
All right, good. All right, well, Corinne, so one of these days we'll need to do a very long catch up. We loved watching you. A lot of the listeners of Rob as a Podcast are devastated this morning. You have a lot of fans who listen to this show and very sad to see you go because we know you had a lot more to say.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Corinne, all the best. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Corinne Kaplan here on a Survivor Exit Interview podcast. Corinne in rare form as usual. So great job by Corinne. And it's too bad we couldn't have seen her stick around a little bit longer because God knows what other phrases would have entered the English lexicon had she been around just even a few more short weeks here on Survivor. So, all right. So we're just getting warmed up here on a Thursday. We are going to now shift our attention to our episode recap, our full episode recap, which I will be doing with the one and only Sandra Diaz-Twine, also a woman who never holds her tongue. So we'll get her thoughts on everything going on this season. So looking forward to chatting with Sandra. And then this weekend, going to switch gears again and go down to the Reality Rally, where I'll be getting lots of interviews with all sorts of different reality stars from a number of different shows. And Team Internino is actually going to be running the race with Philip Shepherd, the specialist himself. So maybe they will come back with some Stealth R Us nicknames and some insight about what it's like to play a game with Philip themselves. So make sure you don't miss anything. Make sure you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of our video interviews from the Reality Rally. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube to go there directly. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and we'll be back with Sandra Diaz-Twine tonight on Rob Has a Podcast. And if you've got something that you want to hear talked about on the show, then go ahead and give us a call on our voicemail inbox. It's 323-282-RHAP. 323-282-RHAP, or you can go online to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail and use the microphone on your computer or smartphone. So have a great one, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.